Morning, everyone. Welcome to Glen Arbor. Those of you who don't know me, I'm Greg Sandger. I'm one of the pastors here. I've been gone for a while, and I'm going to switch glasses here as I do when the old people get up and talk. We're continuing our series on how we hear from God, and we're going to talk about our circumstances, and I really liked what Chris shared this morning. Basically, he said it right there. It's not dependent on our circumstances, but what God is doing behind the scenes, what He is, how He is communicating to us through those circumstances. In fact, since he said all that, I hardly have to do this teaching, but that's not how the way we work. You have to endure it. I've been gone for 3 weeks, that some of you may have noticed or some didn't notice. And I have another job where I work as a nuclear engineer. And I was at an outage in Nebraska, Brownville, Nebraska, population 138 people. Woo! So the plant has more people in it than the town does when they're operating. And when you're working that many hours, so I was working 72-hour weeks from Sunday morning through Friday night, and you're kind of everything can be a blur when you're working like that. You know, if those of you put in a lot of hours or even work night shift, or even as you're working through your day or you're taking care of your kids, or if you're doing homeschooling, everything, it's kind of like it all kind of runs together. And definitely when you're doing that kind of work, it definitely does that. And if you suddenly stop doing that, you can get sick, as I did Friday. So I go, ugh, you know, and I've experienced that before. If you just go, 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 and then you stop. If you ever like done that and then gone on vacation, and for some reason you get sick on your vacation, I had that happen to me. So now I feel better. But the thing that I remembered was that it was all a blur. And sometimes life can feel like that. Like events are just happening to you. I'm just living my life. Things are happening. I'm going. And it can feel like random happenings to us, like stuff is just happening, happenings of nothingness or meaningless rambles without purpose. And one person that talked about this was Solomon when he wrote Ecclesiastes. He was really in his downer days, I think. And he says things like, all things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. This is one of many verses in Ecclesiastes that's, you know, if you want to go and get encouraged, this is not necessarily the place you might want to go immediately, because it seems like he's lived life to its fullest, if anyone has, and he's come to the end of this road. And sometimes you might feel that way. At least I can feel that way. You do an outage at Cooper, you feel that way. It's like, oh my gosh. Ugh. Another verse that's kind of similar to that is, I consider all my activities which my hands have done and the labor which I've exerted, and behold, it was vanity striving after wind. He uses this term a lot, and there is no profit under the sun. Wow, what a bummer. We've had good days and we have bad days, and it seems so meaningless. And it is, if you don't have a relationship with your Creator. If that is exactly where you must end up. I've seen many, many stories in the back page of famous people who have fame and fortune and everything, and they end up in rehab centers. They're unhappy. They have it all, but they have nothing. And that's kind of where Solomon ended up. Or he felt like he was ended up. And we can get there too. This stuff that happens to us every day can have real meaning when we see that it is God acting in our lives and communicating truths and love and hope and things about Himself. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we will see and hear them, and that gives our life purpose and meaning. The trick is to learn how to look for and listen when the God of the universe is talking to us or speaking to us through those everyday things. And that's what we've been kind of going through this entire series is what to look for, how to have these eyes and these ears that see and pick up on this. So this is somewhat of a broad subject, and this could take days to go over, and we're not going to do that. But we're going to explore a few items that may be helpful to you. And we're not going to talk about necessarily trials so much, because that's what Dean's going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about just circumstances kind of in more of a global idea. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. By the way, these are the, before I do that, I want to talk about the three areas we're going to talk about. We're talking about answered prayer, how the Lord talked to us in answered prayer, how when we're anxious, and also trusting in the Lord, how He speaks to us, and then through your life in general. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank You so much for this opportunity to hear how You speak to us, how You, through what we is happening around us, through the things that we see and through the things that we hear, through the things that maybe we feel. Lord, You're talking to us every day and just being sensitive to what You're trying to say. And we ask that You would say something new to us even now, as you're probing our hearts. In Your name we pray. Amen. So our first verse is a verse that often convicts me, is about prayer. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." One of the while we had a core group some weeks ago, Jim Fulmer said, "Do you ever have this time where you just pray and you're continually talking with the Lord all the time?" I've had times like that, and then there are times where I don't. But I think that's where this pray without ceasing idea comes from. And particularly when we talk in our accountability groups, this is, at least for me, is one of the areas I struggle with, is getting the time away to pray with the Lord and really communicate with Him and talk with Him constantly. And but it says, do it continually. And there are times where I am continually feel like I'm in that mode, and there are times where I'm not. And where I might be saying, "God, what about this? Here's this situation I'm facing now. And wow, Lord, You made this." Like we talked about the oceans this morning. Kim shared with us seeing the oceans for the first time. "God, You made this. How awesome is that?" I tried this once. Rory Ritney at a Faith Walkers, and he shared this before, but I always am intrigued by it. He says he gets up out of bed in the morning and he says, "Oh, good morning, Lord." And he just kind of starts that continual conversation. And I was just thinking, boy, I could barely say good morning to me. Or even recognize that there's a morning. Or even know that I'm actually up on my feet. But why do this? Why pray? He doesn't speak back. Prayer is really about, and this is the point, if you want to, all of this, this being able to hear and see and being able to communicate with the Lord in these circumstances about what's going on in here in our heart. And there's a verse that kind of points that out. In Psalm 145:18, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." Not just the very holy people that you see in the pictures or very nice people or anything, all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who hear Him, fear Him, and He will also hear their cry and will save them. So how do we call on Him in truth? Well, be honest, right? Very simply, to thine own self be true, to the God be true. Don't hide anything. Be open. What are your real concerns? What are you really feeling inside here? He already knows. Having you explore that as well is where this communication will really come up. Do you know, I think most of our blockage in communication with the Lord is because we don't actually want to go there. We don't really want to talk to Him about that stuff because it's painful. I'd rather talk about technical things or how our favorite sports team is doing. Those are safe topics because they don't bring up feelings. And feelings can be both good and bad, right? And even in our prayers, I think we hesitate because if I have to go there or go into that area, that's unpleasant. But that's what the truth is. And you may even struggle with that. Think about What do you struggle with talking to other people? Maybe you have that as well. But he says, James says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And the thing I want you to focus on is when he says the effective prayer. Well, what is effective prayer? I think prayer that comes is backed by the heart that really believes, hey, I'm talking to a God that really exists. He really created everything. He's really on top of things. He really cares about me. He is communicating to me through his circumstances. He's really concerned about me. I believe that. And remember, it's said earlier, it says, those who fear him, speak to him in truth. This is from Genesis. This is talking about Abraham. He believed in the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So, what is that really about? What is that I believe about? Well, that's faith, right? I believe in who I'm talking about. Without faith, in another verse it says, it is impossible to please him. So prayer shows that you believe who you're talking to. And you could even say, Lord, I doubt you're even there. Well, that's the truth. But the fact that you're talking to him believes some part of you believes he's there. Have you known someone who is sick or injured or in trouble? Have you ever been in trouble every day? Those are the things that he wants you to talk to him about because that's what's concerning you. He's concerned about the things you're concerned about. I'll give you an example. You know, this is immediately what I just dealt with the last 3 weeks. So I was in this just working. And so I pray, Lord, there was a possibility it would be 4 weeks, you know. And I don't want to stay here another day of doing this outage work. So, Lord, I just pray that I really need to get home, and I really pray that I get to go home on Wednesday. This was about a week before, or week and a half before. That's the day I want to go home. And I believed him. And guess what? It worked out. That's exactly what happened. Now, it could have been something else. It could have been earlier. But I said, that's Lord, that's the day. And I trust that you can work it out. Even with as much bad stuff that has happened, you can work it out. And that's what he did. I believe that he could. And no matter where you are, you know, you could be a pastor. You could be, you know, just a nurse. You can be an engineer. You can be a plumber. You can be a mom, you can be a child, you can be any of these things. Wherever you're at, he has regard for your prayer. Because all of us are in need of God, and that, I think, puts us in the category of destitute. And he has not despised it. No matter what, I believed him. And his answer in this point was, okay. The point here is that he answers prayer, and he is with me and with you. You know, our family daily prays for our relatives to come into relationship with him. And some of our relatives, if we look at a statistical standpoint, it seems very unlikely. But how many of you have had the most unlikely people come to know him? I've seen it in some of your people's lives, some of your family's lives. It's like, how did that happen? I thought that would never happen. What happened to them? Well, God was acting. He was answering. I have personally seen these events change people's lives that caused them to become closer to him. And it seems like it's a sudden and miraculous change. Well, I'll give you one example from my own life. So I have this aunt that, just very, very, seemed very, very separate from the Lord. We had rebelled against her parents, rebelled against a lot of different things. And during one summer, I ended up staying with her. And so I had my children. We started praying for her and praying for others. And I get weird emails from her occasionally. And, you know, some of the ones, oh, look, this is real. This, you know, the ones that you know should never be sent forwarded. But she would send sometimes they were just religious in nature. Well, God is everywhere. That's nice. Okay. But now it's talking about, now they're very specific. They're about Jesus and about Christ and about his salvation. It's like, what is going on? This is different. She's changing. And I'm not there. making this happen. God is there. God is doing something miraculous. Maybe he's put someone else in her life. But I've been looking for that answer for years, over a couple decades. If I pray for something, I want to really believe he will answer. I have since been kind of looking for that, and we see prayer answered every day. You guys, I know you have thousands and thousands of examples, and I have examples, but I can't go through them all because we only have 40 minutes. But it is just absolutely astounding when we see, when we pray, and then we see something happen. We go, wow. It almost becomes commonplace. Sometimes, and I think that's him showing us his love. Sometimes he's answered by a feeling. You think, God, Lord, should we do this? Should we do this thing? And I feel like this is not right. And I'll show, this is an older example, but when Linda and I were first married, we thought, well, we really would like, we both play piano, so we'll go out and get a nice piano. And there was a store, I think it was on Irving Park Road, it was called Pickle Piano. Do you remember that place? That was, yeah, Pickle Piano, that's great. It's gone now, which it should be. And but anyway, we went in there, and it was more like a used car salesman place. They really want to show you pianos. And we really didn't want to buy this thing, but we ended up putting a down payment on it. And then we both felt, this is wrong. This is not how the Lord wants us to spend it. So, Lord, we just prayed about it. And he said, you should go back. And so we just said, no, you know, we're not interested. And we ended up getting something else. But we felt very this strong feeling that we shouldn't do that. And it was a good thing, too, because they ended up closing shortly after. And another one was, should we move? You know, when the church moved from Glen Ellen to West Chicago, should we also move? What would that take? Should we leave Lombard? And prayed about it and said, yes, we should do that. That was a difficult move, but we did do that. Even now, we're talking about, I was praying about, well, I should buy another car. And Lord, and I just had this feeling, don't do it. We're not ready. We shouldn't do it. And circumstances have changed, so it's a good thing I didn't buy this car. If you want to ask me about the details of that, I'll tell you, but it's another one of these long, drawn-out stories. But in every case, it's like, well, I haven't, maybe I wouldn't have really thought about it. Just like, well, I know how to buy a car, Lord. I know what I'm doing. You know, I can look at Consumer Reports. I can, it's all me. I have all the resources I need. But boy, isn't it, I am looking for what you want. I've given my life to you. Well, here's what you want me to do. And so I'm looking for that answered prayer, for that change, not only in my circumstances, but in my own heart. Here's a verse that kind of supports this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It doesn't say only holy requests that only the God would listen to, or only those things that are important, or anything like this. There's no stipulation on this. It's anything. Anything. He wants to know. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And you ever have that prayer where you pray something, and it's like, now I'm okay. I know the Lord's in control. I'm not just advocating prayer here, but I'm saying believe and look for what the answer is to materialize in everything. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not in 10 years, but it will happen, and that is when he's communicating with you. Look at what happens around you. You know what it looks like. You guys already know. It is that eye to see and that ear to hear what the Lord is answering, how he's acting, what he's doing. And it's so exciting when he does. And I feel he's answering when I feel this peace. It's like, I know it's taken care of. I know that he'll answer irrelevant of the outcome because I know whom I have believed. I have this experiential trust that he's always come through on. So how can we see and hear God communicating to us? we look for the answers. We look for the circumstances around us, not just only in what happens to people's lives, what happens in our own heart. And those are the kind of just some of the examples. Now, here's kind of the tougher ones. What if we're really, really scared, which I have been? Another way that I think that God communicates in our circumstances is his commands and truth and how they play out in everyday circumstances. So we read his word and then we see when we apply it, how does that all play out really in our lives? Is this really true? When does a gift make way for a man? If I get slapped in the face, should I turn the other cheek? What does that really happen? Well, I get slapped again. That's not very fun. What's really the communication there? When it really comes, rubber meets the road, what does that look like? In communicating with him on every area, are we placing ourselves in his hands into something? We're placing in our hands something we can't see. We can't really make it happen. We can't master it. And if you want to see someone that really likes to control things, you're looking at them. I like to control things, and I have a real problem letting go of that. That's taken a lot of beating by him. I often feel anxious about things that I can't control. As you get older, I think what happens is you just stop caring. Because it's like you have less sensitivity to things, or you have less feelings, or I'm not sure what happens. It's like, but I'm trusting in the Lord more. Let's just call it that. But I don't know about you, but sometimes, particularly when things get really out of hand, you can get anxious. I get scared and I get worried. And that is when I have to trust him, because I can't do anything about these things that I can't control. I can't take care. If someone's dying of cancer, there is nothing I can do about it. Nothing except pray. There's nothing. If there's many, many events that are outside of my control. And that's when I have to trust the Lord that my best interest is in his hands, because he cares for me. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this anxiety versus trust issue. And anxiety is when we are uneasy or stressed about future uncertain events. And trust is when we have faith in something or someone that the desired result will occur, or the best thing will occur, not necessarily the desired result. And if you can, go ahead and turn, if you have a Bible, go to Matthew 6. We're going to stay in Matthew 6 and 5 for the rest of this time. Matthew 6, verses 25, starting at verse 25. And this is the discussion, and these two sections, people are going to go, what is he doing here? We're talking about circumstances. Why on earth would you go here? And, well, this is talking about this very much, this anxiety and this trust about what's going to happen next. And the exciting thing is I think, you know, we talked about God answering right in his word. Well, now let's ask about it think about what really concerns you right now. Think about one or two things. What are you really scared about? I can think of 10 things. But what is really on your heart right now? What is really scaring you? And then let's go through this. Starting with Matthew 6, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on, nor for your life more than food and the body than clothing. And so the questions that someone's asking here is, what are we going to eat? And you know, like, what are we going to drink? Now, in this country, we don't normally have this. We don't worry about if we're going to have clothing or if we're going to have shelter. We might. Some of you might have had that. But generally, we don't worry about it. Most of the world does. How will I exist? Maybe you have different questions. Have you ever faced hunger or shelter question? Who's going to take care of me when I'm older? Who will provide a mate? How will I get a job? Let's look at what he says about that. Look at the birds of the air. Okay, do they have a job? Are they going to provide a job for me? No. This is the example, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more worth than they? Here's the answer. I love you and care for you and can take care of many details. Here's the example of the birds. Can you think of an example where you thought you'd never get through it? You got through it. If you didn't get through it, you wouldn't be here. He brought you through. There's an example where he loved and cared for you, and you got through it. I'll give you an example of this. When we were doing the move thing again, and we had already moved to Warrenville, and we had two houses with mortgages. And for those of you who've been in that position, it's very difficult. Because that's a bulk of your, if it's rent or if it's mortgage, it's a bulk of your what you're spending. That's your shelter. And so that was one of like four or five times I've almost been bankrupt. And when you get in that, where you have two houses, you're paying mortgage and you can't, that was right at the beginning of when houses, the real estate market was just like dying. And so I was going to take it off the market. It was like 5 days before I was going to take it. Okay, if we make it to this day, I'm just going to take it off and have to figure out something else. So I believe it was the day that I was going to do it, we got a call. Someone was interested in the house. Wow, Lord, can you, like we'll talk about Calvary at the very last minute. But he answered. He said, well, Lord, I trust you at whatever you're going to go. Now I'm thinking wherever he's going to go is we're still going to have these two houses. But he came through and he answered our family's needs despite my anxiety, despite what I thought was going to happen. But I trusted in him. And which of you being anxious can add a single cubit to his lifespan? I can attest to this. I mean, I must have lost 3 or 4 years just thinking about that or many other things that I'm anxious about, concerned about that. And many doctors will tell you, well, stress is not good for you. Well, yeah, but this is just God's telling you the same thing. Your anxiety is more destructive to you than the thing you are being anxious about. That's probably true. Corey Ten Boom got to visit with G&E, our G&E group. Eric, you were there for that? Yeah, he's not looking at. Yeah, he's just too scared. So she was there. I was like, wow, she went to this little group. One of the things she says in her notes, it says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. I thought that is very, very cool. She has a lot of sayings like that. And it's very similar, is that my worry is more consuming than the thing I'm actually worried if it actually happened. God goes on and say, why are you anxious about these things? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, that they do not toil, they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, and will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Here's his answer. Know who I am and trust that I will take care of your needs. And often we are concerned about our needs. And sometimes it's not necessarily food and clothing and those types of fundamental things, but there are many different needs that we concern about ourselves for. What am I going to do in the future? Is this going to work? Why is this terrible situation happening to me? When we see him meeting our needs both daily, weekly, that's part of our circumstances. That's not necessarily the thing we think about because they're generally all met in this country. But it's the small things. Have you ever had something come together that was somewhat trivial? I've had this happen and seemed random, but it met a need you didn't know that you had. Like, why did this happen so that I got this? I'll pick on ice cream. You know, I didn't, but boy, I really wanted an ice cream right now. Why did that happen? That was strange. Why would God care about that little thing? And you'll start, if you get into this, you'll really see, oh yeah, why did that happen? Or, that was odd. Or, I think that's God saying, I love you. Here's an ice cream. Right? You ever had that happen? It's like, oh. He is communicating to you through the events of your life, through meeting the needs of your life, or maybe they're not really needs. They're just gifts. And the right one, do not be anxious then saying what shall... Don't ask these questions. Don't be anxious about your questions. Change the nature of your question from trusting in yourself to trusting in me. You know, here's really where it comes down to when we talk about circumstances. Who do you trust? You know, I, as I said, I'm a real do-it-yourselfer. I'm a fix-it-now person. I feel that I'm kind of a resourceful person, right? Or I can do it all, right? I can do all these things. And that has put me in the hospital more than once because I tried to do it all. I tried to do God's job. Boy, that's hard. He's got a lot to do. And that was dumb, and he's beat me up over that. If I can do it all, then what do I need him for? The realization is that I can't do it all, and I desperately need him. He tells me that every day when I eat my food, put on my clothing, drive my car to my job, take home my paycheck, kiss my wife, hug my kids. We are so blessed, and he speaks to us every day through that blessing. And people wonder, well, what kind of nutcase are you? And this is what it ends. For these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. His answer is stop seeking answers the way the world does. They're looking for fame. They're looking for fortune. They're looking for careers to fulfill that emptiness that everyone has inside, or to the circumstances. If I change my circumstances, that's where the answer is. And the answer is not in the circumstances. The answer is who's behind the circumstances. Who do we actually trust in? It's like if you trust in the circumstances, then if you're looking at a puppet show, you're trusting that the puppet is the one driving itself. That it has the answers, not the person that's telling you the story through the puppet. The world looks for its own answers and is waiting for whatever universal truth to come out and say, they are valuable. They have the answer. There is what gives it meaning. But that really is their own voice talking to themselves. It's self-worship. God has our answers, and when we receive both good and bad things from him, he is speaking. He is talking to us. The trick is to see what he is saying through those events. And as we said, that's just one of the many ways that he communicates to us. One of many events that might have in our lives is trials, and Dean's going to talk about that next week, and that kind of mixes in with this a little bit, but I don't want to delve into that right now. That's kind of a big area in and of itself. So in ending this section, here's the last verse in this section. It says, therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And boy, I found that to be true. I am the keeper of the future, God says, not you. Therefore, trust in me. Doesn't our anxiety come from not knowing what's coming? He controls the future and the present and the past, and we're stuck in it. So as you pray next time, see if you can see how he has already been communicating to you and his blessing to you. One way to start, and we start our prayer meetings this way, was with praise and thanksgiving. And that's a great way to see how he has already blessed. Thank you, Lord, for my family, my job, the people I'm with, that I have food on my table. Or you can write it down, all that you have, and you could be thankful for. You will see how much he has expressed his love through your circumstances. Maybe there's an issue that you're really scared about. Lay it out before him, and then you can go through this section. And I encourage you, go through this verse section again. See that issue in light of that. And it will give you a new perspective when you take it all in and look at it over time. And you'll see how he's carefully mastered it all. That's really exciting. In this last section, I thought, oh my gosh, where is Greg going now? He's going into the Beatitudes. Why would anyone, if you're talking about circumstances, talk about the Beatitudes? Well, this is really talking about life in general. And sometimes this is looked at and it's like, wow, look at all these great people. They're, you know, they get lots of nice things. Well, who are these people? They're you. These are not, by the way, these are not conditions for salvation, first of all. These are contrasting spiritual character qualities and conditions of circumstance with actions that God will take. Let's read just a few of them. It says, "And when he saw the multitudes, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, saying, and opening his mouth, began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" Let's stop for a second. So, let's go to the next one. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, there's a good one. If you're gentle, first of all, blessed means happy. Happy are you if you're gentle, because you shall inherit the earth. Well, who can give them the earth? Not me. God can. Who is going to comfort those that mourn? It must be the Lord. Who is going to give them the kingdom of heaven? That's got to be God. Who are, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. When, how often have we seen injustices and we're not satisfied? How and when will this occur? That's got to be God doing that, bringing something different. These things cannot be satisfied through human effort. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Wow. How will that happen? God has got to do that. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Who's going to call them that? God himself. That's where that's going to come from. Well, what does this mean? I'm gentle sometimes and merciful, but I'm kind of gentle and I'm kind of merciful. You know, is that what this is kind of talking about? It's talking about the spirit of the law fulfilled in the inner condition of the followers of Christ, promising blessings in the future. I'm going to say that very slowly again because that was a lot. It is talking about the spirit of the law fulfilled in the inner condition of the followers of Christ. When he's saying this, there are no followers of Christ yet, right? It's a future time, the followers of Christ promising blessings in the future. And when we lose someone and are comforted by our God directly or indirectly by others filled with that spirit, this heart of the Lord is shown through the events of our everyday life. He's talking about, this is what's going to happen to you. These are the things that, he's talking about a world that they don't know about yet. We will see his love and his plan unfold because we know what it looks like. We see the circumstances unfold in our own lives, in our heart. When we interact with our circumstances with the Spirit of God, God acts and it's apparent that something supernatural is happening to us and we will see it. When people betray us and we show mercy, that is so weird, then God acts and everyone, including ourselves, sees that happening. You know, I'll just give a simple one where I think about the peacemakers. You know, all right, why should I intervene with these two contractors about to beat the crud out of each other? This happened a while ago. Why should they started fighting? And I said, you know what, guys, we don't need to worry about this. Remember, what was funny about this, and I'll shorten the story, is that they were actually saying the same thing. But kind of interacted and said, you know what, this is what's, let's just calm down, and let's just do it this way, and let's just do it that way. And someone commented and says, boy, you're a real, and use the word, peacemaker. Oh, yeah, I guess so. And so, and they even said, boy, you're something different about you. You're, you know, must be God coming down. Well, there it is. It's called sons of God. I'm not saying that's specifically fulfilling that, but that's an example of what this is trying to get at. Then, so what really happened there? It's not just that I saw it or you saw it, but then others see it. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Right now, Christians are experiencing this kind of persecution in Syria and in China and in other places. As always, it seems, our God says they are blessed. They're happy. That's crazy. Why? Well, first, Jesus promised that if you follow him, it will be circumstantially tough. People hate Jesus. If you plan to carry his banner, be prepared for anger and hatred towards you. When that occurs, be happy. Okay. God is saying, hey, look, they hate you. You got it right. Because you're with me. Oh, yeah. Why does he want that? To communicate to you and to others through what's happening, the circumstances, that you are different. And you have something real. As sure as Jesus' miracles were meant to communicate that what his message was true. This is how this section ends. And that's exactly the point. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how it will be made salty again? It is good for nothing except to be thrown out and trapped under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure. You don't light a lamp and then snuff it out, right? You want it to shine. But you put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The mistake we can make as Christians in our Christian walk is that the events that happen to us only affect us. That's what we believe. That they are only for us. Well, if you work for God, you have a sphere of influence for God. People will point to and say to them, did you see? God can point to that and say, did you not see my servant? Remember when they asked you this and told you this? He's going to use this. When you scoffed at them and you scoffed at me. Remember how you wondered how they were going to pull through that terrible vent and I pulled them through? How amazed you were, but yet you did not turn. You are the salt in everybody's life. In everybody else's life experiences, because they're experiencing stuff too. Placed there by God himself. The circumstances in your life are not only a love note message to you, but to others as well. It is a beacon of hope and a fire of warning. Here is my son, here is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to them. That's what this is about. Let's summarize. We'll have the music team come up a little later than I want it to be. He answers us through his prayer, through also our just interaction with life and our anxiety versus trust, and through our life. And if I could end with this last verse, this is kind of summarizes it. How the circumstances also affect others. In 2 Corinthians 2, he says, you are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If you could end with this, is that not only do we have a message to give, but we are the message. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you've given us an opportunity to be part of other people's circumstances, that you interact with us as well, speaking to us, and help us to hear and see what you're doing, in, not only in our own lives, but other people's lives and in the nations. We do pray in your name. Amen.